Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 13th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have with us Jane Howth. Jane will read the scripture for us, and after that, we'll have a time to sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Jane, for joining the podcast.
Our first reading today is Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you, that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister to Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and to have you assist me in my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contributions I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Our next reading is Psalms 85. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and returned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your angst through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Our next reading is Ezekiel 22, 1 through 22. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge the city of bloodshed? Then confront her with all her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols, you have become guilty because of the blood you have shed and have become defiled by the idols you have made. You have brought your days to a close, and the end of your years has come. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nations and a laughingstock to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far will mock you, you infamous city full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. In you they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and desecrated my Sabbaths. If you are slanderers who are bent on shedding blood, in you are those who eat at the mountain shrines and commit lewd acts. In you are those who dishonor their father's bed. In you are those who violate women during their period, when they are ceremonially unclean. In you, one man commits a detestable offense with his neighbor's wife. Another shamefully defiles his daughter-in-law, and another violates his sister, his own father's daughter. In you are people who accept bribes to shed blood. You take interest and make a profit from the poor. You extort unjust gain from your neighbors, and you have forgotten me, declares the sovereign Lord. I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you have made and at the blood you have shed in your midst. Will your courage endure or your hands be strong in the day I deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. I will disperse you among the nations and scatter you through the countries, and I will put an end to your uncleanness. When you have been defiled in the eyes of the nations, you will know that I am the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, the people of Israel have become dross to me. All of them are copper, tin, iron, and lead left inside a furnace. They are but the dross of silver. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because you have all become dross, I will gather you into Jerusalem. As silver, copper, iron, lead, and tin are gathered into a furnace to be melted with a fiery blast, so I will gather you in my anger and my wrath and put you inside the city and melt you. I will gather you, and I will blow on you with my fiery wrath, and you will be melted inside her. As silver is melted in a furnace, so you will be melted inside her, and you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath on you.
Thank you, Jane, for joining us on the podcast today. I want to hear a little bit more about you. Tell us about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got to Birmingham.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate being asked. I was born in Huntsville. I grew up in Montgomery, except for the times that I lived in Japan and Germany. My father was in the service. He was in the Army. And then I came back, lived in Montgomery, moved to Birmingham, got married, then lived in Texas for many years, and Utah, back to Texas. And when my husband, who was military, retired, we moved back to Birmingham, and I've been here ever since.
Tell me a little bit about your journey of faith. How did you come to faith, or how has the Lord been with you throughout your years?
I was born into a Christian family. I was baptized when I was a child. I never had a moment as an adult that I found Christ or that Christ found me. It's just been my whole life. And there were times that I was not very good. I was busy with a husband and children and careers. And in the last 20 years or so, I have become more aware of Christ in my life. And now I can look back and I can see God's hand. If not for, then this would not have happened. It amazes me constantly. I went to law school, which was bizarre. I was working at UAB, and someone that was working for me said, "You need an advanced degree." And I thought, well, good, I don't want a master's. What that's going to do for me? I was in medical school, and I dropped out. That's off the table. I'll get a JD. No idea where that came from. But I went. I took my LSATs. I applied. I was accepted. I went, met someone that has become one of my dearest friends that knew my son. She had been in the military. I loved law. I did not appreciate the practice thereof. And I'm going, why did I do this? And then I met someone. My mother was having health issues. She had senile dementia. She had closed head trauma. And I did a lot of elder law, and I met someone, and I eventually went into practice with her, and she's the one that led me to Mountain Brook Baptist Church. She introduced me to Jim Mobies, who was one of my dearest people in my life, and one day he says, do you want to join Mountain Brook Baptist Church? He says, you don't even have to be there. I'll just announce it. And I said, sure, why not? So I became a member. And when my friend died, she was older and ill health. Someone I had met through her said, don't you want to come try our Sunday school class? I said, sure. I went. I stayed. While I was there, I met someone who got me involved with the library, who got me involved with Cooks on the Mission. And that is what supports my ministry to first responders. And everywhere I look, if not. It amazes me every morning I get up and I thank God for the coming day and for the good that will be there.
I want to quickly get to this question because I think it is so interesting. Your tag on your car says Cake Lady. Is that correct? And tell me a little bit about how you became the Cake Lady.
Yes, it does say Cake Lady. About 5 or so years ago, in the previous election when Trump was elected, a police officer did something very bad, and the media was all over every police officer was bad. And I thought, that's not right. Most people are good. And I didn't think about it. And the thought came back, and I thought, yes, somebody should do something. It came back, and yes, somebody should do something, but not me. And finally, it wouldn't leave me alone. And I said, all right, dear Lord, what do you want me to do? And the thought came to me, bake cakes. And I thought, you know, dear Lord, you have a really good sense of humor because, number one, I don't bake. And number two, I'm diabetic. But, you know, whatever. So the diabetes has turned into a great blessing because I do not taste anything I make, have no desire to. But baking cakes, I had one cake that I made twice a year for our lake parties when we lived in Texas. So I took that cake and I went uninvited to Mountain Brook Police, because that's where our church is, and asked if they would help me develop some cakes. And the sergeant looked at me like I was a little crazy. But interesting, they were willing to take cakes and taste them. So that's how I got started. And I started at about 5 cakes a month. And as I progressed, God opened more doors. He gave me more abilities. And it just sort of grew. And I thought, well, fire department. So I started with some fire stations. And then I thought, well, the highway patrol. That took me a long time to get in. I had to start with a DMV who was underneath.
I now take a cake every month to the DMV and to the Highway Patrol, and I dearly love them. Then I thought, military? We don't have any military in Birmingham. Yes, we do. We have an entire National Guard base on the other side of the airport. So I called my son, who's a retired colonel, active duty Air Force, and said, how do I get in? He said, I don't know anything about the Guard. Call public relations, which I did. Scared that man, transferred me to the executive officer for the wing commander, who is the base commander. And I talked to him, and he goes, well, you got it. I said, fine, get me. Well, you got to be approved. I said, fine, get me approved. Well, and finally, about the fourth time, I said, Captain, you cannot keep me off the base. I have a military ID card. And if you don't get me approved, I'm going to adopt you, and then you cannot keep me from bringing cakes to family. I thought the man was going to have a heart attack. But he got me approved. I was very limited in what I could do. And then they called and asked how much I would charge to make cakes for a change of command. And I said, fine, nothing. It's a ministry. This is a 501(c). We don't charge. And I said, who's it for? And he said, the wing. Well, that's as good as it gets. That's the high thing. So I took cakes out, even a cheesecake, for them to decide. The day came, took the three cakes out, and after that, they began to let me actually go to the different groups, and I now serve the entire base, including the Army detachments that are there, and that has been such a blessing.
So what started with one or two cakes to support our first responders has developed into a full-blown ministry. How have you seen the Lord at work in this ministry?
Everywhere I look. I started with the five cakes. First of all, I'm not a really outgoing person. And for me to walk into a police station, ask for the sergeant and say, help me, I never thought I could do that. And then I'll think of something. And if that's what God wants me to do, the door will open. I have thought of things I would like to do, and that door never opened. So when he opens the door, and it has been gradual. It has gone from 5 to 10, and now I'm up to 60 or more a month, which people say, oh, that's too much. No, if it was too much, God wouldn't have me doing it. It's been such a blessing. I mean, the first responders love the cakes, which is amazing because I'm not a baker. But the blessings to me, God has blessed me and blessed me. I have good friends. I have met first responders. I now know their families, their children. It's remarkable. People share their stories, and I can discuss God, and I can discuss religion, and I can discuss things like that because most of them are Christian. And even if they're not, they listen to me, and they tell me their problems, or they tell me about their families, or they tell me good things that have happened. It's been just, I can't believe how good my life is at this stage of my life.
Jane, as you were preparing for today and reading over the scriptures, was there anything that stuck out to you that you might give comment on?
Yes, I was in Texas earlier last month staying with a friend, and I went to her church, which is a Lutheran church in Tyler, Texas. And the priest was an interesting gentleman, and a sermon that's maybe different than what we're used to. But his sermon was on the last half of the 10th verse of the 85th Psalm. The verse goes, love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other, which was an interesting statement that I, until he mentioned it, I had never considered it. And of course, it's predicting Christ, and Christ is righteousness, and Christ is peace. And he ended it with a picture of a young girl standing in front of a mirror. She's got her hands, she might maybe 2 years old. She's got her hands on the mirror, and she is kissing herself in the mirror. And that just touched me so much. What a wonderful picture in our minds that Christ is righteousness and peace.
Thank you, Jane, for joining us for the podcast. As we close, I'd just like to pray for the First Responders Ministry and for all who are listening today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity we have to get to know Jane. I pray for the First Responders Ministry, Lord. I pray for our first responders. Thank you for Jane's obedience to be a blessing to the men and women who serve us and our country every day. I pray, Lord, for each of my brothers and sisters who are listening, and I ask, Lord, that you would just continue to help us to seek you daily. We love you, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.